first moment when I walked into a cinema. I was hooked from there.
Hello and welcome to the review of the year 2014. This is our Latrice Canon main critiques, and we're going to discuss what our favourite movies of the year were, what our worst movie of the year was, and then everything in between.
We are going to turn 2014 a new one.
Yes.
And it deserves it.
Yes, it does.
2014 was a good year for film, was it not?
Let's face it, we're going to say that anyway.
No.
There's always stuff we like.
No,
no.
No,
it was not.
Without going all in with them, to be honest.
It's not a great year.
It's a good year. It's interesting.
Good year, not a great year.
Please stop doing anything for them. I have a top 20 that I'm happy with and really like, and there's some very good films there.
But you have
no
5-star
film this year.
I haven't had an absolute 5-star either. I've had quite a lot 4.5.
So here,
this is going to sound very pernickety to anybody who listens, but I mean,
you pernickety.
I like it as you.
But do you have a reputation?
But the thing about it, I'm not a believer in such a thing as instant classics.
No,
there's no such thing. But even then, when something comes along, you think that has classic potential.
Yeah.
There's a couple of films that I saw that maybe have, but on the whole, no, I didn't get something that absolutely knocked me out, but I've had some very close contenders.
My top few, say 3, 4, 5 films in the next few years could easily slip into that category. But yeah, we'll see.
We shall see.
Niall?
Yes. I have. Did I give a 5-star this year? I'm not sure. I don't know. I know that I gave Frozen one last year. I have no idea that I gave.
I still have to see that, and it isn't 5-star, and I severely doubt it is. By the way, I am going to pick you up on.
I'll go to hell.
Oh, someone doesn't want to go to Snowman.
I was in a good mood when I watched it.
Everybody seemed to be in a good mood when they watched it. And it's time for me, this grump, to watch it.
There we go.
I can't wait to tear it a new one. I'm sure it'll be bloody lovely.
So
whatever.
So we'll start off then in that sort of crouchy mood. What is the worst film that you've seen this year?
There are a few contenders, and I've mentioned it a couple in recent weeks, like Exodus, Gods and Kings, Men, Women and Children. But in the end, you see, we're kind of blessed. It's a mixed blessing in that we're not paid to do this job, so we actively try and avoid bad films because life's too short. But definitely the worst one I saw this year was a horrible, horrible little film named The Book Thief. This is the adaptation of the novel of the same name, basic story about a girl growing up in Nazi Germany, and she loves books, bless her. Well, isn't that great? And she tries to save some from being burned. It's got every Second World War film cliche in it, all delivered in plummy, not British, not quite sure what they are accents. People pick an accent if you're going to do a film like this. The one positive element I can think of is John Williams' score, and after that, I just want to shovel this thing onto a pyre.
Not a fan, then. Not a fan.
It's the worst film of the year. What can I say?
Wow. Okay. Well, I didn't watch it, so I can't.
Jeffrey Rush and Emily Watson. Yeah, the only way is up.
I've read 40 pages of the book and I had to stop reading for the punch somebody. So I'm not going to be watching
it. It has a narrative by
debt.
Yeah, it's just boring if you're a good writer.
And I don't think Mark Kazushek is. And the worst part is they keep that framing device for the film. It doesn't work. Oh, it's awful. Thank you for reminding me of this. Let's get on to talking some good films soon. But first, Jay, what's your worst film of the year?
Any surprises? Anybody want to guess?
I wonder. Right. You've been talking about one in particular.
What I could have said, though, not only do we not get paid to it, but I made a decision a few years ago after seeing, I think, one of the Star Wars prequels, that I'm just not watching bad movies, insofar as I can help it, in general terms. I'm going to avoid as many as I can. So, I'm sure there's terrible, terrible films I haven't seen. Like, there's always a nativity even every year. So, I mean, I'm sure there's awful, awful films. But of the films I've seen, it has to be Snowpiercer. I'm sorry, it has to be Snowpiercer. I know Niall liked it a little bit more than both of us. You liked it a little less than...
I liked it a little more than you, but that's about as much credit as I'm willing to give. It's probably the biggest disappointment for me this year.
Yeah.
But the astonishing thing about it is just how much praise it's getting elsewhere.
I have seen Masterpiece, I've seen 5-star reviews, I've seen it in top 10s. I do not know why they're drinking the Kool-Aid on this one. It's beyond me. It's like, regardless of whether you think it's better than I think it is, which I'm well aware I'm in the fierce minority in saying it's awful, right?
Emphasis on the fear.
Right. Yeah. I've made a brief mention before. But can anybody really stand over a 5-star review for this? I just can't imagine it. I don't know how you could. It's clearly troubled at minimum.
I'd agree with
problematic,
that.
Like, in real terms. God awful in others. In mine. I hated it. Anyway, and I'm a huge Tilda Swinton fan, and I know people like Brenda. You said you like her.
I think
she's dreadful, and I think it's actually it's not horror. It's the characterization of that thing, and it's gone beyond. It's almost a caricature of a Tilda Swinton's performance, and I just can't take it. Maybe it's the film and the tone of it that doesn't work in that regard. I just can't take it.
Wow.
I'm sorry.
I mean, you definitely tell us to think that, because there are big problems with that, and yeah, I don't think it's the worst film of the year, but damn it, a lot of your criticisms are perfectly valid. I like Tilda Swinton, as I say. I think the cast do their best with what they're given.
They do, but they're not given a lot.
Fair enough. Niall.
Well, Transformers 4, sorry, is definitely a consideration for the worst movie of the year.
Because the fact that you've actually seen that, you deserve some sort of award.
You know what? I blissfully forgot we had one this year, a Transformers film. But they're always going to, as long as they're making money, aren't they? Although this did make a bit less than the third one.
Yeah, so that's a contender. God almighty, that was terrible.
But is it?
It's not the worst film of the year, no, because Palo Alto is the worst film of the year.
Oh, you're reading it. I forgot what you ate.
This is another one that people seem to like, and yet one of you is just deciding to rip it to shreds.
Yeah. Colin Clark quite likes it. He's
This is the thing. People like it.
He's gone on the cinematography of it, which I thought was just overindulgent and nonsense. Now, it's a bad rip-off of Kids, and I just can't. No.
And Kids, no masterpiece.
Kids in every sense is rough.
Yeah.
Oh, no. Palo Alto, no. No, terrible. I just can't. I just couldn't relate to any of them. I mean, I'm not meant to anyway, because they're all teenagers who live in LA, but
the life is so hard.
Produced in Ellis by any other name would smell as rancid.
This trailer was enough for me. I was like,
and it's got a very bad Val Kilmer. And I mean, you know, Val Kilmer.
There's been a few very bad Val Kilmer in the last few years.
I always hate to hear that, because I'm big Val
Kilmer. But it's been a long time. It's kind of even last.
Is this based on James Franco's
name? Yes, it is.
Of course it is.
In it.
One big friend.
No wonder you didn't go see it, Jay. Because you're a big Franco fan.
I'm a Franco fan.
It's a very, very bad Sophia Coppola film.
Yeah, and I'm no.
And there are some really bad ones.
I'm no Coppola fan in any way, shape, form. I think she's a terrible filmmaker. But
she didn't direct this. We should point that out.
No, it was Gia Coppola, her niece. So
interesting.
Not interesting.
No.
It seems to me the only Coppola who actually seems to be doing any good work these days is Roman Coppola, and that's only because he co-writes with Wes Anderson.
I do like Jason Schwartzman. Although he's not.
Okay, Jason Schwartzman.
Nick Cage.
Yeah.
arguably one of the most successful couples.
Oh, don't let's take the piss.
I'm not.
No, that's a sad
game. I love Nick Cage, yeah. Cage Wage, you need someone.
Hey, you know what you say about judging horror films by standards? I'm judging Nick Cage by appropriate standards.
I know he's in every terrible film there is in the last decade, but my God, he's entertained them.
Oh, God, not the bass! Not the bass!
Exactly!
Oh,
he gets away. He gets a pass for his whole life for, you know,
his soul is still dancing. It's insanity. I love Bad Lieutenant, but for Christ. So yeah, Palo Alto.
They are our three.
Which didn't that feel like therapy?
That's great. So we start. We start now. We'll get into our celebration of all that is good in the year.
Excellent.
We start with the breakthrough performance of the year. So
I think there's only one name on this list.
Are
we in agreement here?
I'm going to give you, because I gave three to the Dublin Film Critics Circle. And
okay.
So, I started with Shailene Woodley.
In?
Well, because she was in
some few things, and
she was.
Yeah, she was in a few things earlier, and they've all been decent, you know. So she's rocking it.
Yeah. Well, though, arguably, wouldn't she break out in The Descendants?
No, she was in The Descendants, but that wasn't a break role for her, you know. Then Margot Robbie.
Oh, stunning performance in The Wolf of Wall Street. For many reasons. I mean, I don't want us to be shallow here.
She's shallow for a minute.
Okay, she's gorgeous. Yeah. But as well as that,
she can
act.
Yes, she can.
She holds her own against Leo DiCaprio in that film completely. She's a ball breaker and she's fantastic at it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And whether you like it or not, Chris Pratt had a breakout year.
He did. Granted, he did.
I liked him a lot in Parks and Recreation. Anyway, so I was fine with that.
But he broke into the mainstream.
Yeah, he did.
Guardians of the Galaxy, it's all on his shoulders.
And he carries admirably, if you like that kind of thing.
Some of us do, some of us not so much.
And then we have the consensus pick.
I think so.
And that's young Jack O'Connell.
I have no argument there. I mean,
neither do I.
The films we've seen him in, he's been great.
Started up, 71, then Unbroken.
He's terrifyingly good.
Yeah. And good God, what he can do in the future. I mean, he has that intensity that you don't see very often, and I'm really, really looking forward to seeing what he does next.
I would also like to give a special shout out to three particular ladies: Mira Barkhammer, Mira Grossen, and Liv Lemoyne, aka the three leads from Lucas Moodysson's We Are the Best.
Yes,
they are fantastic.
Yes, yes,
and
yes.
May I say, they also point out that's their feature debut of all three.
Good God, you are fantastic. So natural.
So natural, and just so joyous. Wonderful all round.
I just want to watch that film again.
Me too. Me too. We'll be hearing more of it later. Well, stay tuned to find out.
Honorary mention for Donald Deason.
Yes,
indeed.
He's had a fine year.
He has.
And he's going to top it next year with Star Wars. So, you know, I mean,
put Adam Driver into that particular.
Powder
space, exactly.
Starting with Lewin Davis, and he's in What If as well.
Yeah. Tracks.
Yeah, so he had a fine year too.
Yeah,
a lot of good stuff. Probably Jack O'Connell is the star.
Yeah, definitely is the one. Yeah, no argument.
Because having recently watched Start Up, I just take it easy, man. Great acting, but whoa, it's you're almost bordering on Ben Foster there.
It's almost bordering on.
Starts off quite severe.
Yeah,
it almost touches the kind of Paddy Considine in Dead Man's Shoes intensity on occasion.
Word. Yeah, great actor, and however bad Unbroken may be, well, it could be as bad as I've heard, but I look forward to seeing what he does next year. More. Just don't succumb to. Don't play a superhero, that's all I ask.
Documentary.
Yeah. As I said, documentary has been a weird blind spot for this year. I've seen some, but not nearly as many A as Philip has a B. I watch quite a lot of documentaries, and for some reason I've missed a lot of them this year. But I have a couple that I really like. There's three I really like. Whitey, the Story of James Bulger, which I missed that. It was that Stranger to Fiction, but I did see on Netflix. And it's a fine documentary about James Bulger and the hunt for him and trying to Ten Most Wanted and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Being done before, that kind of thing. It's nothing really new, but it's such an entertaining story that it's well worth watching. I also like the 30 for 30 documentary on Hillsborough as a Liverpool football fan. It'd break your heart, but as a particular fan, that it's an extraordinary documentary. Really, really well told. Absolutely heartbreaking. And of course, Roger Ebert's Life Itself film, which is lovely and a fine tribute. But my favourite documentary, and one that has come up again, is Pat Collins' Living in the Cold Land.
Fine pick.
It's a film that has the measure of the country we're in, both past, present, and indeed future. It's an astonishing piece of work. And I've seen it twice, and I'm not able to be seeing it again. It's got so much in it. It's meaty. When meaty is called for at this time, it's exceptional. I absolutely adored it.
To coin a word you're very fond of, the heft.
Yeah.
It's weighed down with not just portent,
history.
It is important.
Yeah.
Dare I say it is important.
It's an important piece, and I think it's wonderful. If you haven't seen it, you should see it. It's great.
We'll hold it there because I'm sure it is going to be mentioned more later on. For me, as you say, it has been quite a year for documentary, even though Jay, catch up.
I shall.
There were some great ones. Living in a Colder Land would be one of them for me. Also, Life itself, as you mentioned. I'd also give special mention to At Berkeley, Frederick Wiseman's documentary.
I hadn't got the 4 hours to spare, man.
There've been a lot of long films this year.
You've watched a lot of.
I watched Norton at the End of History the other day. It missed out on the top 20 spot, not least because of its length.
Yeah.
But for me, the pick of documentaries this year has to be Laura Poitras's Citizen 4. It's gobsmacking because here is a film. It's telling you the story as it happens. Edward Snowden telling all. And you just think, wow, I'm watching something important happen.
Yeah.
And it's, wow. It's not every film that gets the chance to put you front and centre of something important. But there it is. And it's riveting.
When it showed at the New York Film Festival, there was journalists in the audience because it was breaking news. There was stuff in it that nobody knew about.
Good Lord.
So there was journalists who were there to watch it and then report on what it has said.
That's almost like a new kind of documentary, isn't it?
Isn't that crazy? And it got standing ovation.
It deserved it. Now, some might say that, okay, it has an unfair access to this news, but it is a great thriller in and of itself. And it's one of the biggest stories with an international impact in recent years, and the way it captures that, it's people are going to look back on this and think, whoa, how on earth why aren't there more people like Snowden? And chances are there are plenty of people who are going to say, you know, are you the saint sinner thing? But yeah, the film might be one sided on that, but given the argument it presents and the way that he is forced to present this, it's hard to argue against it.
It's the righteous side.
Yeah. Yeah, granted, it is righteous, but necessarily so.
Yeah. It's an essential on my catch-up list, which I hope we catch up next week.
Niall?
Citizen 4 is online, too. So
wow.
It's an extraordinary piece of work.
Yeah.
It just is. As a documentary, it works as a documentary and as a piece of historical fact, you know, it's just a point in time.
It's there, and we'll be referring back to it in years to come.
Yeah, it's just
capturing a moment.
Yeah, it's very of now, and so so it is. It's worked its place for that. Then I also had 20,000 Days on Earth.
I love it.
Yeah,
I absolutely love it.
So Nick Cave. Documentary, so
as opposed to Nick Cage, which is a different documentary.
If 20,000 Days on Earth, that's just what it feels like to watch a Nick Cage movie these days, isn't it? I love this film. It's actually in my top 20.
Yeah. It's an extraordinary film. It's really worth it, especially if you're in any way inclined towards Nick Cage. You know,
Cave.
Yeah, it's a Nick Cave. Yeah, so and I am. So this played right into my
ditto, voice. Ditto. Even if you're not a Nick Cave fan, just the idea of it's documentary, mockumentary. It walks that line. It's okay. It is a fictionalized take on the 20,000th day in the life of Nick Cave, but it does capture so much of the man and what he's about. Yeah. Good call for documentary.
Somewhere just as well.
Watch it; it's great. It's like a documentary. It's like an essay.
Yeah, it's poetry. It's a poetry.
Poem, shall I say? A filmed poem, an ode to Nick Cave. Yeah.
And then I had Mark Cousins' The Story of Children in Film, as well.
Yeah, which I haven't seen.
Neither have I.
Clearly, I haven't seen it because I've seen somehow missed every documentary that has been this year. But anyway,
so that's great. It is exactly what it says in the tin. It is a story of
children.
And the impact of film on children. So,
I haven't seen it, but the most thing that I get from it is the best compliment that has been paid to it, and it's the same compliment that has been paid to the story of film. is that you just want to go out and watch all the films that he's referenced.
Yeah, yeah. That story film is a bugger for that. Like, you just go looking, searching for films, and go, where the hell is this?
Yeah.
Yeah. So the man's a fine filmmaker.
I never got the argument of, I could listen to his voice all day. I don't get
it. Isn't it wonderful?
People complain about it a lot.
I don't know why. It's like,
I could listen to it all day. It's like, honey.
It's one of those great ASMR triggers. You just, oh, that's lovely.
Yeah.
Hello, Mark, if you're listening. Just on the off chance.
Sorry, just
I apologise for impersonating you in our previous podcast.
Just a small bit of breaking news while we're here. Yes. This trailer's just been released for Terrence Malick's Knight of Cups.
Which is playing at Berlin.
Yes.
We're going to be talking a lot about that next year, right? Yeah. Here.
I just wanted to mention. I'll be checking out as soon as I can.
Cool. So we're going to move on to Best Actress of the Year.
Yes.
So this includes, we'll go with supporting as well. So.
Okay.
We'll do the two together, yes.
Okay, but do you want me to jump in?
Yes, please.
Okay. Best Foreign Actress, I actually was kind of going through lists and stuff today, and I could have had about 7 or 8 people on this list. And I kind of whittled it down to a few, and a couple of them from Gone Girl, which I wasn't a huge fan of as a film, but Carrie Coon and Kim Dickens I loved in it. Could be easy on another week taking it with, and I also am a huge fan of Rene Russo in Nightcrawler.
Nightcrawler, yes.
Really fantastic. Great to see her back on this big screen.
They're all great calls, and especially because I don't think they're going to get major attention.
No, I don't think so.
Of the three, I'd say in those terms, Russo's probably the best for best call for awards, but they're all excellent, definitely.
And my other kind of one that was in the mix before I decided on who was Laura Lee Linklater, who was fantastic in Boyhood. And in my opinion, it's as much about her as about...
about her culture.
Yeah, I would have thought so. It's very good. Yeah, it is so. It's exactly
more traveled than Boyhood.
So yeah, I would have thought so.
There's also now, it raises a point, Patricia Arquette in that film. Is she an actress or supporting actress?
Supporting, I guess.
I would go supporting.
Yeah, she's not in it enough to
I've
be
seen actress and... it doesn't matter.
Yeah,
so I'll have her on as a kind of a. She'd be in the hunt for actors, but she's very good anyway.
Yeah,
but in the end, I come for Marion Bailey in Mr. Turner because she is beautiful. Like her performance is so perfectly judged.
She's so warm. And
I would marry the woman, God damn it! Like she's great. She's so good.
I'd say the same, but I've met the woman, and she is a delight. So I just feel awkward saying that.
But like it's one of those poems that it's kind of easy. Also easy to dismiss because it's not doing anything grandstanding, it's not doing anything dramatic, you know, it's not pulling out all the tears, it's not doing any of that kind of thing. It's going the other way, in fact. It's actually small, it's warm, it's kind of really, really subtle. And it's just all the more effective for her, particularly towards the end of the film.
Yeah.
I adore the performance, I absolutely adore it. And she gets my vote.
Good call.
Yeah.
She's great in Mr. Turner, no doubt. She'd be a nominee for me. Your other picks as well are, I'd go along with all of those. But my pick, since I brought up that potential argument, I'd plump for Patricia Arquette in Boyhood because we all have issues with Boyhood. We seem to be amongst those very few who are just keen to say, yeah, but hang on.
Yeah.
We're calling them out for what the problems it has, and they are big.
Yep.
But she's great. You buy her exasperation across this boy's life, and you feel it, even when she's having to deal with some very cliched and repetitive material.
Yeah, there's some.
They got bad taste in men there. That character.
Repeatedly.
Repeatedly, yeah. It's
and
big
full of cliché. But she transcends the material.
She really does. And she's an actress who has not been best served by some of her choices. For a long time, she's done TV work with her show Medium.
Yeah.
But I think it's been a great opportunity for her to just kind of rest and build up her talents again and her energy and deliver this great performance. She's getting a lot of attention for Boyhood.
Well deserved.
The attention for her is certainly.
We'll get to that.
We will.
I didn't do a supporting actress list, but I would have. I would definitely have Patricia Arquette on there, and I did love Carrie Coon in Gone Girl. And Rene Russo in Nightcrawler.
Yeah.
Fantastic.
Oh, I've missed that woman.
In many ways.
Indeed. No bones yeah. about it. She's a gorgeous woman. Yeah, but she is a fantastic actress. Yeah. Bargain. So then I suppose that's a good leader to best actress.
Yes, yeah. Well, I'll start then. So go on. I have on my list, I have Agnetha Kulesa from Ida.
Good
call. Oh, yeah.
There.
Ida is, it's getting a lot of attention when it comes to year end, and I did like it, though I felt its second act lagged for me, and it's, okay, it's dealing with a lot of heavy material, but yeah, but she's deaf, wow.
Yeah, she's
lovely.
That's a fine performance.
It is, it really is.
She's got this wonderful porcelain face, you just, you can tell she's going to go through a lot in this film. Just,
yeah.
Oh, you just want... You just want to hug her. Bless you.
Hug a nun, eh?
Hug a nun.
Then check this out. Scarlett Johansson for Under the Skin.
You don't like Under the Skin,
I
do you?
I do not. But she's, she is very, very, very good.
She's... In it.
I don't like the film, but...
She's all the things that that film needs. She is alluring. She is terrifying. And she's vulnerable. At all at the points that she needs to be. It's a heck of a performance. She's had a... we know she's been an established star, but this has been a breakout year for her.
An astonishing year for her.
Between that, Lucy, and her.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The contrast is, in Under the Skin, she's seen, but rarely heard. In her, she's never seen... But we always hear her, and she's just such a compelling presence in both ways.
Yeah. And in Captain America Winter Soldier, she goes up against Captain America.
That's true. She's actually...
That's what slipped my mind.
Yeah, I mean, it's not because we're down on superheroes. I just think Captain America is largely forgettable. But now that you mention it, she just... Between that and Lucy, when she has to kick ass and take names, she does a fine job.
Well, you know how big a fan I am of Lucy, so...
Indeed. But then you look at that... And then the other roles, she is a complete package as far as actresses go.
Yeah.
She can do...
Pretty much anything, yeah.
Pretty much. At the risk of being, you know, over-generous. But yeah, go Scarlet.
Yeah.
Then I had Rosamund Pike for Gone Girl.
I think that's a good call.
Yeah.
Oh, she's fantastic. She owns that role. I mean, Amy is a duplicitous...
I want to risk our PG-13 rating here, but there is one point when someone says to her, yeah, risk of spoilers, but someone says to her, "You fucking bitch."
That is exactly what she is.
She is fantastic.
And she owns it, more importantly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She is the heart of that film. You know, so.
Gone Girl has been the mainstay of public transport reading for so many people for about the last year. And for somebody to take that role and completely make it their own, it's not many people that can do that. And sure. Rosamund Pike, she's been on that cusp of being an A list actor. This is going to bolster her completely, her profile.
And I had S.E. Davis for The Babadook.
Great call, because she is great. She is.
That is a hard role to play.
It's emotionally demanding.
Yeah.
But it's so much more than a scream queen tag.
Oh no, absolutely. It's not just about being there and being playing the victim. It's
an exploration of grief, yeah. That film and that role, and she is great.
Yeah.
Definitely. She does everything. She hits all those high notes that are demanded of her, and God, I can't wait to see her in more now. That's a breakthrough role as well.
Absolutely.
And in Philip's one, Marianne Cotillard for 2 days, 1 night.
Yeah, she's one of my favourites indeed. She is my pick for Best Actress of the Year because she makes a potentially unwieldy idea of a plot work. Basically, she's about to be fired from her job after an extended period of sick leave because her co-workers at the small company, they had to vote take a bonus and have her fired or keep her on, lose the bonus. And they voted by a slim majority to have her fired and keep the bonus. So now she has the titular 2 days and one night to go and recover, change her mind.
Yeah.
It's because she makes you believe it.
Yeah.
the Dorothy M. brothers, they're great directors, but if it wasn't for her, you'd wonder how much you'd believe the scenario.
Yeah, she's the heart of it, like, in every sense.
She is. I dare say it's one of the best performances of her career, in a career full of them.
Yeah, she's a fabulous actor.
She is.
I'm a huge fan.
Yeah. Jade.
You've kind of taken all the names now, to be honest. Why are you kept down for actress, but I suppose it doesn't really
matter. Yeah, it's semantic in a way.
Yeah.
I've also got Essie Davis down, I've also got Rosamund Pike down, both terrific performance. Julianne Moore for Maps of the Stars.
Yeah, which I haven't seen.
Fantastic. She's right up there. But my choice is this, I don't know if Niall chose it, but Scarlett Johansson for Under the Skin.
Yes.
Yeah, I think she was phenomenal. Absolutely phenomenal in that movie. And on a rewatch, where you're not really too fussed with anything else in the movie, you can just watch her. It's spine-chilling.
You think of the lines she has in that film. She only ever really speaks when she's about to do something really bad. So, when you think back on her dialogue, do you think I'm pretty?
Yeah.
No, I want to say no, even though you so clearly are, but oh God, I'm terrified beyond all capacity for rational thought, and oh, it's like somebody, I read a review, I think it was Matt Singer, his review, and it was a summary of his review on Letterboxd or something like that, and he just said, you want to give me a male gaze? I got your male gaze right here for you, buddy! She completely subverts the idea of Scarlett Johansson as sex symbol.
And because she's sexless, isn't it?
Yeah.
Because she's...
I mean, she's covering up the trademark blonde hair for a start. She's wearing these grungy clothes. And then she seduces these hapless victims in. And you just think,
She has the sexuality of a Barbie.
Yeah. Exactly.
Because it's otherworldly in that sense.
It's alien.
Yeah.
Yes.
And you just think, oh, hey, look, Scarlett Johansson's she's stripping off, and oh, dear God!
Yeah, it's an astonished performance, and it gets my vote. And it doesn't look like it's going to do anything in the awards, but
no.
No.
Hasn't got any mention,
really. I don't think enough people have seen it.
It's only got one real mention, and that's for its score by Mika Lee.
Yeah, which is a well-deserved mention.
Fucking awful.
I
am not. It is.
It's
nonsense.
I don't think we're getting into too many technicals here, but if we did, my vote for best score, it's Under the Skin. Mm-hmm. Definitely.
Yeah. I'm not one of them.
It's an extension of that character.
We move on for the big vein in Noah's head pot.
Will we be mentioning Under the Skin later?
We will.
Stay tuned to find out.
The rest of you will.
Yeah.
Actor then.
No. Oh, okay. So all yours were on there. Actress-wise?
Marion Cotillard is my pick, and as I say, if we had to go for supporting, I'd go Patricia Arquette. But then again, I can't wait to see how that argument is going to pan out. Ultimately, see what the Oscars do.
Cool.
Or don't, because...
It's the Oscars, yes.
Yeah.
Actor. Philip.
I suppose if we're going to start with supporting, some good turns here. Although, mentioning the Babadook, now, I kind of want to mention young Noah Wiseman.
Yeah.
He's
a fine performance.
Yeah, because by turns he has to be an annoying little shit, a compelling little victim, and he does both.
Yeah.
Really well.
Yeah,
really does. Other mentions I would go for, it hasn't been a good year. But ultimately, when I came to think about it, there was only one choice. And again, for a film I'm not a huge fan of, but it's Ethan Hawke in Boyhood. So he's having to play a father figure, even though he's somebody who probably wasn't meant to be a father figure.
No.
But he does it really well. It's a good extension on his role in the Before trilogy.
Yeah.
He's a bit of a lad.
Yeah.
But, he rises to the occasion when he has to.
Yeah.
And he's great. And his interactions with the children, particularly Ella Coltrane in Boyhood, they're great.
And he has a fine moustache as well.
He always gave fine moustache. And as the resident beardy here, fair enough. And glad you pointed that out. Yeah, he's great. He's very warm, and I know a lot of friends of mine, they're either getting married or they're becoming fathers now. Do we know anybody like that? And you can just see a lot of that, not the, his young roguish naivete across the 12 years is being kind of worn out of it. And he's become, he grows into the role.
So he trades in the car, really, isn't he?
indeed. It's, he's, him and Arquette, they make that film work for me.
Yeah, no argument.
What do you say, Jay?
I say, I have a couple, Michael Fassbender for Frank, because I think he's terrific in it. I don't know if he seems to be talked about as, and he as a sporting actor, he's been talked about at all. Even though he's, like, I know
the movie's named after his
but
it is the story.
But I think he's great. Tony Revolori, who's a
Grand Budapest Hotel,
yes, Zero. He's fantastic, really really good, and a cast of fine actors. He's he more than holds his own,
definitely.
It's
great. That is a great ensemble piece,
it really is. Riz Ahmed for Nightcrawler, who's
wonderfully panicked in that film.
Yeah,
who wouldn't be up against Jake Gyllenhaal? Yeah.
Nothing like that. Yeah,
I think he's very, very funny performance. And one lady also I liked was Rich Jenkins in God's Pocket, in a film that I didn't particularly rate. Had all the qualities cast and kind of setting, but didn't really do anything with them.
It was okay.
It was okay. But I thought Jenkins was fine performance. But I'm Philip. Ethan Hawke gets it for me. He's terrific, and there's no coincidence that he does his best work with Linklater. I mean, before trilogy and here, and he's a fine actor and two great ones.
I mean, I hate to say we're being magnanimous about this, because again, Boyhood is not a film any of us.
No, I mean, I'm not big on the film. I'm the same kind of a Gondor as well, which I wasn't huge on, but I think the acting problems are excellent.
I'm going to add in Jonah Hill.
I put it in, and I left a note. We were discussing kind of 2014 post Oscars and being included and stuff. Hill is great.
And Michael Fassbender for 12 Years Slave.
Yeah.
I liked him in it, certainly. Great ensemble piece, too, in its way.
Fine cast of it.
Yeah.
So, actor, Jason.
Right, who did I go for? Well, in the mix is Gyllenhaal, obviously, because he's terrific in Nightcrawler, and had Enemy been released a few weeks earlier, Enemy. That would have been three Jake Gyllenhaals for price of one, but alas. Macon Blair for Blue Room.
Great.
Nice call.
Yeah, yes. I don't think we were as gone on the film as we liked it, I think.
It's good. It is good.
It's in my top 20.
So is it? Oh, okay.
Yes.
I liked it for a good chunk of it. I don't think I'm as huge in it overall as most, but his performance drives it. He's excellent.
One of the best debuts, feature debuts. He's great. Excellent.
Yeah. Tom Hardy for Luck.
Yes.
Nice.
It's a fine film, that. And
it rests on his shoulders.
Yeah, and he's great. And he tells me so much about concrete. He's really, really good.
Concrete.
Yeah. I don't do accents. And then Ralph Fiennes for Grand Budapest, who is just... The timing is ridiculously good. Philip, do you want to put one in there?
I have three of them, so...
I go to bed with all my... Now, how's that supposed to make me feel?
But at the end, I had to plump for Tim as well. Mr. Turner. Yeah, that's where it began, by the way. He wasn't sort of bovine, I don't know what's coming to the door.
Well, it does sound like an animal sometimes.
And occasionally, it looks like it, depending on when you gang camera and catch it. But his performance is. It's a career building up towards a performance that I think. Well, he's done great work for Lee and other directors, but this, the culmination of it, he's just sensational. And I'd love to see him win. It looks like it's going the Redmayne Cumberbatch way in awards, which is shameful if that's the case. Because Spall, if you're going to go the English actor doing the part, it's got to be that for me.
Yeah. I haven't seen Theory of Everything, but I have seen Imitation Game. I think Cumberbatch is okay. It's just he's such a lackluster film. Very show.
And I think what Spall is doing is something. It's all in little glances, is what he's doing. Sadness, funny, whatever. It's quiet.
Yeah.
Even whilst being a big man in a room, like,
and
I mean,
gruff.
And gruff. And
but it fits the aesthetic of the film. And the
relationship
time.
Of Marion Bailey is just.
Their scenes together beautiful. Are wonderful.
Oh, it's a beautiful thing. But
you're still making your nice pictures. Oh, I just think I was so warm. And she brings the warmth out of him when otherwise he might not.
Gorgeous. But yeah, Spall for me.
Yeah. Again, I would have to say there's some, like I say, great performances. If it had been a couple of weeks later, I'd have put in Michael Keaton myself. Ray Fiennes is excellent. And I do like the calls for Tom Hardy and Macon Blair there. But I, at the risk of sounding repetitive, I have to agree with you. It's Spall. Yeah. I go for Spall because... unlike those other showy British biopics, and yes, all those young actors, yes, oh, they're marvellous, whatever. But no, here is somebody who's getting down and dirty with the material and the time. I mean, he learned to paint, for goodness sake, that's a good start. But as well as that, he brings all these tics, you know, the protruding lower lip and the grunts and the language of it, and he brings it together into a cohesive whole. You believe this image of Turner. Turner is a bit like Mozart because any two, if you ever look at any two pictures of them, none look the same.
Okay.
But if anybody thinks of Turner from now on,
they're
going to be Spall's.
Spall, yeah.
Because you believe it makes, it brings him to life. He absolutely does. You believe the eccentricities of him, the grouchiness of him, the weird proclivities of him at times, and you've just, it's rounded.
Yeah,
in many ways, he's great. He's absolutely great.
It was just as if he'd be sweeping everything. He'd probably get a BAFTA, you would think.
He will win the BAFTA, no doubt. Yeah. He also won Best Actor at Cannes. He's
which
won a few of the critics.
His mantelpiece would be okay.
His mantelpiece would be fine. He'd be in the running right now.
He's sure to get a nomination.
For the Oscars, definitely. Right now, it's... I don't know if it's going quite Cumberbatch or Redmayne's way.
I really hope not. But anyway.
Right now, my money is somewhere between Keaton and Spall.
Oh, so say we all.
So I'm going to add two names because Jason had three of mine. So he had Jake Gyllenhaal, Ray Fiennes, and Tom Hardy. So I'm going to add Jack O'Connell to start up.
Yep.
Great breakout performance. He's so intense.
He is quite scary. And...
and quite a potty mouth.
Shreddy Ogifer for 12 Years a Slave.
Yes.
Great call.
That scene where they're kind of slaves singing and he eventually joins in.
Oh, see what takes in
heaven. There's face up on his face. It's astonishing. I mean, I actually need to rewatch that.
I do as well.
We discussed it. I think I need to rewatch Austin between them.
Well, that's always a good thing.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. Why did I not think of Ogifer? Because 12 Years a Slave, we'll be mentioning it later. I certainly will.
I kind of think of it as last year.
I'm the same way. I'm thinking of performances like that. Like that one or Oscar Isaac in Inside Llewyn Davis.
DiCaprio.
Leo DiCaprio in Wolf of Wall Street.
But these are all actually... Phoenix and her...
But the reason why I'm not putting it in, I suppose, is because... Even though they've all had their day, in a sense. I'd rather talk about the people now that people would see.
That's
a good
point.
You know what I mean? I think shine the light a bit more.
That said, though, even considering all those performances, Spall would still be my pick.
I'll sit here.
Just thank you for mentioning Ogifer. Like you say, there's loads of great scenes where just out of nowhere he delivers heft.
He's
again,
great.
There's
He's
one.
Great.
The one scene that sticks out for me is a scene where one of his fellow slaves just will not stop crying.
Yeah.
And she's berating him for currying master's favor, and you know she says, you know, you just want to try and get on the best you can. You're just barely getting on. And he just bursts out. I will survive.
Yeah.
I will not fall into despair. I will keep myself hardy until freedom is opportune. And just the burst out of the bottom of the depth of his soul, and you just feel this character. He wants to get out with all his might, and he's just going about it the best way he can.
Absolutely.
Fine performance by Ogifer, and I think he was robbed of the Oscar myself. Him and DiCaprio were in the running, but you notice
they're absolutely robbed.
You notice nobody's mentioning Matthew McConaughey.
All right.
He's fine.
Yeah,
good.
He's good. He's the best thing in that film.
Definitely.
But
at the end of it all, my pick is Spall still.
So we move on to Best Director.
Oh,
interesting.
Yes.
So I'm going to start. So at five, I had Phil Lord and Chris Miller for the Lego Movie.
No argument.
Yeah. I can't argue with that because film is so much fun. It captures, you know, this could have been just an advertisement for Lego.
Oh, absolutely, yeah.
And in many ways, it is.
Oh, yeah.
But what it advertised most of all is...
the fun of playing with Lego.
And what Lego can do.
Yeah.
How conducive it is to a child's imagination.
Yeah.
and they absolutely get that. What a child can see when they're doing something with Lego.
Spaceship.
And the fact that they're kind of actually slaying corporate culture whilst being part of it is actually really fun.
It's quite a balancing act.
Yeah, it is. They get it right.
Just the commitment to the imagination of the whole thing. Kudos.
Fair play to the pair of them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Then I had Lenny Abramson for Frank.
No, I'm not arguing with that.
Again, a balancing act between comic and tragic.
Yeah.
Which is most hard to do.
Yeah.
Mm, indeed.
And then I have Paweł Pawlowski for Ida. Yeah.
Going big on Ida.
I am going big on Ida. You'll see it again.
Excellent.
It's a good film. Not quite my top 20, but I did like it's. I like Pawlikowski.
So do I. My Summer of Love is a wonderful film.
It is. But his choice of black and white is seriously.
It's one of the most beautiful black and white shot films I've seen in quite some time.
Mm.
It's so stark. It puts you in that.
Yeah.
Yeah, and so for that, that's why I had
absolutely. No argument.
And Wes Anderson for The Grand Budapest Hotel. Because it's his best movie.
Yes.
It is.
Yeah.
I, for a long time, was wondering if it could knock off Royal Tenenbaum, but eventually it did.
I'm still unsure, but it's right up there.
And then, Steve McQueen for 12 Years a Slave.
Is that your choice?
That's my choice.
Yeah.
Fine choice.
Fine choice.
I can't argue with that. That man is 3 for 3. Yeah. And I
there's
can't...
There's not many directors you can say now, though.
No, indeed not.
He comes fully formed out of the box to Santa.
He's a whirlwind of intensity.
Yeah. And he's making a HBO show at the moment.
Can't wait to see that.
Oh, yeah, I want all of that. Right now.
Jason?
I have a couple that we were talking about, but I've kind of got it. I was all sure that my pick until it changed since it wasn't my pick. I got a few nominees, The Dardans for 2 Days, 1 Night.
Mm-hmm.
Fabulous film. I have Bennett Miller now, and I know I'm not allowed to include him because it's Foxcatcher's next year, but I just wanted to mention it because he did a brilliant job and I love that film. I also have Linklater here because I think over a 12-year period, I think what he put together, to for the most part, worked. I think it was an immense achievement, even though I not necessarily think the film itself is quite as good as people think it is.
It's less than the sum of its parts.
But I think technically and forever away, I think.
And for just sheer ambition.
Yeah, exactly that. And he did, they know what he's doing with the four trilogy as well. I mean, he's doing a lot of great things. And I think it's certainly worth the nomination.
Hmm.
And my pick was Jonathan Glazer for Under the Skin, because I think there is a filmmaker, in my opinion, is 3 for 3. But I went for Wes Anderson in the end, because Grand Budapest Hotel.
A feat of filmmaking, as a technical accomplishment, it's just incredible.
But the thing is, Anderson finally found his heart, I think, in this one completely. There's a melancholy and there's this beauty at the heart of the film that's probably missing from some of his films. Not all of his films, but some of them.
And it is a very Anderson film.
Yeah.
It has all of his tropes. Yeah. But it's just brilliant.
And the story within the story within the story thing is great.
Mm. I've quite a few picks I could have gone for this year, and you've mentioned a lot of them already. Jonathan Glazer would have been my choice for a long time as well, because Under the Skin just terrified me so bloody much. Steve McQueen, a good call. I would also nominate the Coen brothers for Inside Llewyn Davis.
They haven't got much love to make.
That'll change.
I need to rewatch that as well.
You really
need to. I do.
Tang.
Hunter.
And
space.
And let's go and also give a mention to Mike Lee from Mr. Turner.
Yeah, almost made my list.
But, and I hate to say it again, but god damn it, Jerry, we're ripping each other off. I had to go with Wes Anderson in the end.
Yeah.
Because.
He was 2 for me, so you know.
Well, there you go. We love Grand Budapest Hotel here.
We did.
And how could you not? It is a delight. Yeah. Absolute delight. And as you say, there's a balance there between comedy, melodrama, and just his use of aim and aspect ratio.
Oh, the ratios are fantastic.
Aren't they, though?
Yeah. No, I agree.
So we go Irish.
Oh, okay.
Irish film.
Yes.
What was the best Irish film of the year?
At 5 in my list, Calvary. Which is
yeah.
This is why I'm glad I didn't do a top 5.
Right. Oh, so...
Then I had Rum Jump.
I didn't see that.
Rum Jump either.
That's good.
I heard it's quite sweet.
Yep. Standby.
That's also supposed to be quite sweet, and I should see that because it has Jessica Biel. Okay.
Yeah.
1 Million Governors.
I did see another documentary. There you go.
Yeah.
1 Million Governors is just wonderful. It's just it's such a warm film. It's just great. And it's available on DVD. So you can give it as a gift for Christmas, which is very nice, or after Christmas now. So,
yeah.
Give it as a gift for somebody's New Year's.
Indeed.
And then I had Frank at one. So.
Oh, nice choice.
So I loved Frank.
I just missed that weight on 20.
Mm.
It was in the very low 20s, so it was almost there, but didn't quite get in.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. Okay, Irish films. I had a few to mention. Standby, which I kind of forgot, even though I saw it quite recently, which I really, really like, so that's certainly in the mix. The Stag at Top's fine, it was okay, it was enjoyable, not particularly groundbreaking in any significant way. A shout out as well to Stalker, Mac Connors film, which I really liked. It goes a bit kind of off the rails a bit in the middle, but it's a ferocious film. I'm well worth checking out. Frank obviously gets mentioned because it's fine. And Out of Here, which I really need to mention, Donald Foreman film, which is excellent, and is in my top 20 for the year. It's really, really good, and you really need to see it. But again, Living in the Cold Land, numero uno this year. My second Jabo award goes there. gets two of them. It's a, as you said, fantastic documentary, and also it's in my top 5 of the year. So it's an interesting year or so. I think it's been good, maybe not quite the heights that has been written, but I think occasionally I wasn't a big Calgary fan, it's not there, but the ones that are there, fine.
Good. Well, it's been an interesting year for Irish film, not least at the box office, because between Calgary and Mrs. Brown's Boys, the movie, it's, well, there you go, the proof is in the pudding. That's a lot of money between those two.
Especially Mrs. Brown's Boys.
Especially, yes. Loath that we may be to deny it, because, good God. But, like you with the documentaries, I haven't seen quite my share of Irish films this year, but the main one I did see, there was never any competition for this, it is Living in a Coded Land. Like you said, it is just... this is a phrase I hesitate to use because it sounds so pretentious whenever any critic says it, but it does capture the zeitgeist.
Yeah.
Ireland, here and now.
Yeah.
We're too beholden to our land... or maybe necessarily beholden to it, and we have no idea where that is going to lead us.
Nope. And it's...
And it says, the future is a scary place.
Yep. And the year is only border out. But I will say, just in terms of what I was saying, Mummy and Douglas is very, very good.
Yeah.
I actually kind of blanked out of my head, maybe because I watched on TV, I didn't really think it was, I did get a run to cinema. And it's a sucker punch of an ending, which I'm not going to give away, obviously, but it's a fine point for them.
So, then now we're into the last award of the night, the best film of the year, the best films of the year.
So our countdown, do we have a top 20, top 10?
I'm down 10, but you guys feel free to go 20.
We'll do our 20 to 11 first, shall we, Jay?
Yeah, I left mine at work.
the dog ate your top 20.
That's it, yes.
Do you want to do 20 to 10?
Okay.
Pop pickers.
Okay, so how shall we do this? You say 20, I say 20.
Yes, okay.
Go.
20, Life Itself.
20 for me, Leviathan.
Ooh,
neither of them in my top 20. So.
Number 19, Noah.
Number 19, We Are the Best.
That is in my top 20.
Number 18, Luck.
Number 18, 20,000 Days on Earth.
Number 17, Her.
Number 17, Gone Girl.
Yes. Number 16, Mr. Turner.
Number 16 for me is Winter Sleep.
Yet see that either. Damn it. Number 15, I didn't surprisingly not mention this evening, Only Lovers Left Alive.
Number 15 for me is Welcome. Oh, good.
Yeah.
For me, it's Welcome to New York, Abel Ferrara's.
Oh, I need to see that as well.
Yeah, I really must.
I do as well.
Number 14, Out of Here.
Number 14 for me is Stations of the Cross, Kreuzweig, the German drama. I also should have mentioned the lead actress there, Leah Van Aken, who was stunning in that film.
Yeah. Number 13, Ida.
Number 13, Night Moves.
Oh, yeah, I like it. It didn't trouble me at 20, but I did like it.
Yeah.
I had some issues with it, but I like it in general. Number 12, Inside Llewyn Davis.
Number 12 for me is At Berkeley.
Inside Llewyn Davis in my top 20. At Berkeley, you have to see.
Number 11, We Are the Best.
Oh, very nice. For me, awesome! The Lego Movie.
The Lego Movie. Fine choice. Okay. Now, we'll start at 10. At 10 for me, Ida.
Nice.
Yeah.
Lucy.
Really? That high?
Yep.
Jeez, yeah.
Wow. Loved it.
Jay loves Lucy.
I do indeed love Lucy.
For me, my number 10 is the Grand Budapest Hotel.
Ooh, that's low.
That is low. That's surprisingly low.
I really enjoyed it. But it's...
That doesn't even convince me.
Oh. Okay, I hated it. What do you want from me?
At 9, I had Locke.
It's quite high.
That is.
Yeah, I really like Locke.
I really
Locke is just outside my top 20.
Number 9 for me is 12 Years a Slave.
Fine film.
Indeed. I think that's a little low myself. Number 9 for me. Number 9 for me is Mr. Turner.
Very nice.
Thank you.
Starred up at 8.
Just missed my top 20. Number 8 is Match to the Stars.
Ah, and there's a film that
I've
been mentioning.
To watch that.
You do. It's so. It's
harsh.
It's David Cronenberg's Sunset Boulevard, and it's as good as that sounds.
Mm-hmm.
For me, number 8 is Living in a Coded Land.
Oh, nice. 10. Beauty.
Frank, that's all.
Ah.
Yeah, so my love for Frank continues.
Indeed.
And number 7.
Frank's
Hi,
Eddie.
Buddies. The Lego Movie.
Hey. Hi there. That amused me so much. I must rewatch that. For me, number 7 is The Darden Brothers, 2 Days, 1 Night.
Oh, nice.
Good shout. At 6.
Hi, buddies. Hey. Oh, seriously. Is that not just a wonderful film?
Number 6 for me, The Wind Rises.
Ah, the Miyazaki.
Nice choice.
Loved it. Absolutely loved it.
That would be just outside my top 20, I think. For me, number 6 was Citizen 4.
Excellent.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Very hard.
I told you, it jumped right into my top 10.
Didn't it?
At 5 for me, Her.
Nice.
Mm.
At 5 for me, 2 Days, 1 Night.
Very nice. For me, Inside Llewyn Davis.
Yeah, that's a good film.
Space.
4, 12 Years a Slave.
4, The Grand Budapest Hotel.
Good. Now, Snap.
Yeah.
Yeah. What could I say? Just
Sucker Punch.
Really?
I will rewatch.
And I wasn't expecting it to be a Sucker Punch. I thought it might be a bit more dry and biopicky, but no. McQueen brought that edge.
I was uncomfortable watching that.
Yeah,
brilliant.
Oh, there are a few scenes indeed. You just but it needed to be that way, and thank goodness someone did it the right way. And I must say, the most deserving Best Picture Oscar winner in a long time.
Full agreement.
At 3, The Wind Rises.
Oh, nice. I'm glad to be there. Excellent.
Hmm.
At 3 for me, Living in the Coded Land.
Wow. I praise indeed. For me, 3 is Her.
Yeah, there we go.
I loved Her.
Yeah, I like it. But we'll see. We'll move on.
2, The Wolf of Wall Street.
2, The Wolf of Wall Street.
Snap.
2, You Drank, Ian? Only Lovers Left Alive. You drank.
That's what I heard it be.
I adore this film.
I have it in my top 20, but yeah.
It's surprisingly high film.
And it's Jarmusch's best film for me. And I just loved how smart it was, how stylish it was, and it has Tilda Swinton, and
that's a Swinton performance I can get behind.
Thank you very much. It's great. I love
and
it.
And its use of Detroit as well.
It's character in itself.
It is. It is. Little Jack White.
And my number 1 film of the year, to no surprise at all, is The Grand Budapest Hotel.
Oh, that was scary. Really scary. No, good call. Good call.
I think Philip maybe snap on this one. Number 1, With a Bullet, Under the Skin.
Snap! Under the skin. All the freaking way.
Yeah. No, it didn't trouble my top 20.
It didn't. It didn't trouble my top 100. So
It's
and
so
I saw 123 new releases this year, so that will give you some idea.
It's so scary and so elegant and so erotic and it's already
fantastic. A classic, it's a future classic.
We shall see.
It's a future coaster in my house.
Oh, dear goodness. This is why we love doing right what we do. It's the argument, you see.
Future coaster.
No, not in my house. That'll be framed.
Mm.
Oh. I need to watch it again. Do you want to watch it again? I need to watch it again.
Of course I want to watch it again.
Yeah, well, those are... Yeah, I can't get behind under...
Okay. We realise it's not for everybody. It's...
Yeah.
But as a classic,
yeah,
that makes a change.
Mm-hmm.
It's a cult classic at the very least.
Oh, that's an interesting year.
Yeah.
Still quite a bit to see. So I suspect my top 20 may change in the next few weeks a little bit if I get to see the ones I want to see.
That's not going
to
be another podcast extra.
No, but it'll be on Letterboxd if you want to see it. Get that.
We'll be doing our end of year posts, so we'll be doing a combination of all the writers on the site, and they will be up there. They should already be up now.
Yeah, I'm not. If Guardians of the Galaxy is a scan on top 10, I'm not taking any responsibility for that.
I'll second that.
Well, it's not in my top 10.
Yeah, that's good.
So,
top 20?
Yeah.
I'm not sure. I think. Yeah. I've only seen it 8 times.
That's true. If you don't know, find out.
As for my most watched film of the year, it has to be that. So
yeah.
Well, I should hope so.
Yeah, I would have thought so.
I don't know. Raiders is close.
You also watch it like what, every week?
Every month.
I think I've watched The Wolf of Wall Street 3 or 4 times, so maybe it's that.
I don't know. I couldn't put a figure on any of them, to be perfectly honest.
It still will never beat the record of The Dark Knight Rises when I was living in Amsterdam and I went to see it 12 times in the space 3 weeks.
I like the film, but 12 times in 3 weeks?
I worry about you sometimes, man. Sometimes I worry.
Anyway, what's...
On that bombshell.
Yeah. We wish you a happy new year.
Indeed, we
wish you a prosperous new year as well.
And a prosperous 2015 full of wonderful, wonderful films.
Yes, there's a Star Wars film.
Yes. There's a new Terrence Malick film.
One of the first parts of the new year will be our preview of 2015.
Ooh, looking forward to that.
Indeed.
We need a list to prepare. Etc.
So, bon voyage.
Adios.
Arrivederci.